Accession number 28668, Mr. Frank Rogers, Real 2. Now, we were talking about you're coming up, you've after the war had finished, you're at school, you're coming up to 14. Now, what's your job going to be? I mean, what did you intend to do? You didn't have your dad to guide you. What did you plan to do?
Well, my mother, she was out of my dad, and it's been a few years, and she picked up with a chap, and they got married later. But he was in, when he got demobbed from the army, he was a what they call a trainee carpenter. And,
now, hang on. How did you feel about your mother remarrying? I mean, did it? Sometimes it bothers people. Sometimes
At the time, I thought it was okay because I got to know him. You know, he seemed to be all right.
How soon after was it? What year was it?
It'd be 49, I think.
So quite a while afterwards.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, Christ, you couldn't get married straight away, either. It wasn't a done thing. You've got to go through what it wasn't a writing on the wall, but the morning, the morning time of the death, it sort of had to be a certain length of time.
A decent period.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
By there, I'm not making any comment about anything there,
but that's how they used to think. Anybody who got married within 12 months of losing their husband, they said, oh, Christ, you soon got married,
So she got married about 1948. Mm. Now, you were saying about him, he was an apprentice, he was a carpenter by trade, or?
No, not, he'd come out of the force on what they call a B release scheme, and he had 6 months training as a carpenter, and he was on the buildings and that, and he seemed to be doing all right. And he said, it wouldn't be a bad trade for you to get in. And between me stepfather, he wasn't my stepfather at the time, but he was guiding me towards that, and a gentleman who was a trade union man in Northampton, Alf Hudson, his name was, between them they got me an apprenticeship with the local council.
That's a good job, an apprentice carpenter for the local council. What did it involve? And when did you started at 14, did you?
Yeah.
So that'd be 1947.
Yeah. Well, I've left school, and over the Christmas period, I was still 13. So when they always went to work the day out of Boxing Day, I was still 13. So I went to work on day out of Boxing Day, and I always say to people, when you started work, I said I was 13. They said, no, you didn't. Well, I had a week's money. And then I was 14, not the 5th of January, so I had well over a week's money coming. I was still 13.
Now, what was it like as an apprentice? What was it, a proper apprenticeship?
I was on what's the word they used? On approval. You'd done 12 months, and they sort of assessed your abilities and your attitude and everything. And that's what happened. So the first 12 months, that's what I was on approval. So
now, how did they start training you?
As soon as you got off the bus, the bloke said, "That's my kit." And what kit have you got? And I've got a hammer, saw, square, and an axe, I think I had. And that was my lot. And he said, "You go in the up and get all the nails we want for today." And we was in this house. And then it was slung in at the deep end. It was a bit of a dumb waiter sort of thing for a start, but he was what they call today a gopher. You go for this and go for that.
But he'd be showing you what he was doing?
Yeah.
Or at least you could see what he was doing. Yeah. He might not be showing you.
Yeah. And funny enough, I'm not knocking him now, but he gave me the first fortnight, 3 weeks, I went home and I was crying in my bedroom, so. So I said, "What's up?" So I said, "That man at work is, he's really." And I thought, "What am I doing there?" And I think I'm a bloody baby sort of thing. So my stepfather, unbeknown to me at the time, went to the foreman on site and said, "Can you tell him?" Because he did, and they ate you then, them days. They wouldn't, no holding back.
So he'd backhand you if you didn't do something quickly.
Or you've got anything wrong if you mucked anything up. And out of that, I don't know what happened, you know, he was reprimanded about it. I don't think he lost any sleep over it, but he realised what was happening, I think, and he was a lot better. And finished up when he packed at work, he was still friends and that, but it was a big shock. It's like everything else. When a change in life comes, it's a big shock.
Now, what were you learning? What do you have to learn as an apprentice carpenter? I mean, what are the skills you need?
Levels, precision of the fixing joists, roofing, doors, windows, flooring, and I've done this since I retired, and the murder, you know.
And so, did you have to get your own toolkit, or did they give you your own?
Oh, we used to have a shilling a week tool money. And that used to keep you in pencils. And if you lost anything,
so what do you need in your toolkit? I mean, you told us what you had when you started, but what else did you need, you know?
Wood bits, set chisels, brace and bits, as called it. Two saws, panel and hand saw. Two planes, jack plane and smoother. Mortise gauge. Sanding block. Square. Adjustable. A level. Dated before I was later use a level. Never mind about buying one.
A level?
For leveling.
The bubble is.
You had to be about this size. Of
a yard long, or something.
Yeah. Well, brickies have longer ones, but that was all expensive, and it took a bit of a time to get together.
Was quality important? Was it important to get the best chisels or the best?
Oh, yeah. Marples, Ward's, that was his chisels, Russell Jennings pattern, wood bits, and they come from a lot of good chippy tools come from America.
So it made a difference. So would you save up and buy the best, or would you just buy the rubbish in the first place?
Whoever the man you was working with, he used to guide you on what bits to get, you know, that you needed immediately, that sort of thing. But things that you wouldn't be doing, you did, you know, the kit that you needed for that sort of, when you get, you know, progress up more, you've got more kit. But
did he advise you to get good stuff then?
Oh yeah, the chap who you was with, you know, in the day, I mean, I had about three or four blokes I worked with.
Now, where did you keep it? What did you keep? Was there a toolbox, you know?
That was one of the first tricky jobs I'd done. I made myself a toolbox. And it was all done at home. It wasn't done at work or anything like that. And we always used to have, for site work, what we call a bass. It was a bag, like an old one, two handles. And it was like a boat-shaped bottom. And you used to get most of the kit you wanted in that until you got a little bit more educated. And it was all buses. You'd be lugging your kit on a bus underneath the stairs on the double deckers.
Now, did you have to watch your kit? It was yours. Did people lend you stuff, and did you keep an eye on your own stuff, or did you just use your own?
That in them days, labourers, bricklayers, all had their own kit, and woe betide anybody who picked it up. What are you doing with that? You're not entitled to do things with that. And when I've come through a stage where a carpenter does carpentry, full stop. Electrician does, well, I still do mostly, but everybody kept to their own trade, and were be told with the unions that was about then.
So you wouldn't help a bricklayer?
Well, you would if it was an emergency. I mean, they used to get the lads unloading brick lorries if there wasn't a lot about. You know, you've got to bend a little bit that way, so everybody got off the job at the same time. If you're working out of 10, you've all got to get on the lorry, and there was two labourers unloading a load of bricks, and you can't sit about on a lorry watching them take it up. It's common sense, that one.
Now, you were working for the council. What sort of work did they have you on normally? Was it building new council houses?
Yeah.
Or? So new build?
Yeah, right. Yeah, the chippy work was hold on, and we had then Northampton, there was quite a lot of council estates, and I never looked back as far as work's concerned. It's a good town to live in, really, as far as work.
So it's mainly new build, and so
the maintenance to older council houses.
Was the work done to a higher standard on the new council houses, or was it what they call jerry built? I mean, what were standards
it's only my theory, but when I started apprenticeship, I was worried that I was doing all council work, and I thought, well, later on when I leave the council, or you know, whatever, and I go into private work, I thought, I wonder whether I should be good enough on private work. But later on in life, when I left the corporation, the standard on the council work was far greater than private, as a rule. I mean, you do get some houses that are expensive, and they've got a lot of expensive timber and fittings, and they are real beautiful houses. But the general run-of-the-mill, you used to have a clerk of works for bricklayers, you used to have a clerk of works for chippers, and a clerk of works for the roads and concrete and the structure and all that. But on a private site, you get one boss, and if he wants trades, he gets them in. But there's nobody, there is a certain standard you've got to meet, but you don't have a clerk of works. You have a general building inspector, like a lot what they call a lighthouse man, who used to come round once a month.
Now, how long was an apprenticeship as a carpenter? I mean, is it 3 or 4 years?
Five. It used to be a 5 or 6.
So you were doing it from December 46 through to 51, you'd be on?
I had 1 year probation, that didn't count as an apprenticeship. So I was 15 when I saw my apprenticeship papers, and then when I was 20, I finished it, and that's when the snatched me for the
for the army. So yeah. Till what? 1953.
Yeah.
Now, there's not much. Is there anything else to tell about that period, or are you just working as an apprentice carpenter?
Yeah, well, like fishing, and I learnt to smoke, drink, and carry on. But apart from that, it was an odd holiday.
A normal life.
Yeah.
You hadn't been in, I forgot to ask this, in the Boy Scouts or anything like that, had you?
I joined the Boy Scouts. I didn't like that. No, let's start from the beginning. I joined the Life Boys at the chapel, because I liked the uniform and that. And I was in them for about a couple of years, and then I packed them in, so that. And then I thought I'd try the skates. That was because I was a bit old, and then I didn't like them.
Why not?
I think it was because it was St Matthew's skate group. And if you, because Mum used to say you've got to go do it to Sunday school, but she did, you know. But it didn't mean a lot, really. And if you wasn't going to, put it this way, if you wasn't going to church at St Matthew's, your face didn't fit. I know it seems a bit hard, but you'd be surprised in them days it was a bit. Then out of the skates, I joined the Sea Cadets.
Now, tell me about that.
I nearly had 12 months under the Sea Cadets. And one night went down there, and the yabos in the area where we had our depot down far up. That wasn't yabos, that was just having a bit of fun. They pulled the bung out of the whaler that we had tied up beside the river, and that was their practicing bit. We got down there and it was full of water, and this the floating decking that we had, where it was tied to, was a bit under the bottom side. And I hadn't even got my uniform then, so I was all in my semi-Sunday best, and was trying to pull this wader out of the water and get the water out. And me being lucky, stood on some timber that were rotten and went straight through it. And I went home and I was really off. And I jacked it in out of that. But I was getting close to going, finishing my time.
What sort of things did you do with the Sea Cadets while you were with them? I know you weren't with them long.
Not knots and position and of things. Well, I forget half the terms I was using, and learning to march and fire a rifle. And it was the in thing, you know, the lads.
How far did you get with learning to fire the rifle? I mean, what rifle was it?
A 303 Lee Enfield. It was a big bit of kit for lads, but they.
Were you actually firing it on the range?
No, it was all blanks. It was like dry, like practice setting up and that. It wasn't any lot of ammunition.
And anything? What about drill? How do you take to drill?
Not too bad. Found out I've got a right foot and a left foot instead of two lefts.
So, and you'd meet at this, what, down by the Neame, was it?
Yeah, down in Far Cotton. It's not, they're in, still in the same area, different place on the river, but it's not what we call South Bridge.
Did they have a sort of clubhouse next to the river? Or was
it was,
boat?
Yeah. No, it was a prefabricated building. Like an ex-army hut, I think.
But you never got as far as getting the uniform and properly signed up?
No. Well, I was signed up, but I didn't get me the uniform because I was still struggling to get the uniforms for the big blokes, never mind about the little ones.
And you did that, how old would you be when you did that? Just before?
I should be about 17 or 18, I think.
So that's about 1950, 1951.
Yeah, somewhere around there, yeah.
Now, what about your call-up? I mean, was that deferred or
well, yeah, I had 2 years deferment.
Now, tell me about the deferment of call-up. What was that because? I think I can guess, but can you just tell us about the deferment?
Well, because I've got 2 years to finish my apprenticeship. The firm I work for, the council, they defer you, you know, with the authorities. And while you was on that deferment, you was attending college, or technical college, put it right. And I've done that ever since I was 15, when I signed up in 15.
Now, what we did, that was part of the apprenticeship. Yeah. Now, what were you learning at technical college?
Geometry. I didn't even know that word existed before I went when I left school. Use of electrical powered circular saw and stuff. I mean, we had none of that on site. It was all handwork. Maths. Quality of materials and draftsmanship, plans. You know, not a. But how to read plans and to get levels and things like that.
And so you're doing your apprenticeship and you're attending a technical college, so they deferred you on those grounds.
But there was a condition that I deferred you. You've done all the night classes as well. Because after 18, your day continuation finished, and you finished the last 2 years doing night school. Well, you three nights a week, and it used to get a bit brain off that, so I used to get pulled up in front of the borough engineer, and you know, if he was down on your attendances, he says, "Look, if you don't make your attendances, you'll go. Now we shan't be able to defer you anymore. You'll have to go in the army." Well, short story of it, that I managed to scrape through and finish my apprenticeship.
And that was in what, 53?
End of 52. 52. Yeah. Yeah, and
so then you were liable to call up. Now, what was the call up procedure? Take me through it. From the start to the finish, after you know your deferment's over, how did they start getting you in the army?
First of all, I had a letter saying that you were being considered for national service, and you'll be getting some paperwork for having a medical in Northampton. Well, I had my paper come through. And
when would this be, roughly?
This would be while I was still doing
the back end of your course.
It'd be September or October 1952.
Because they could see you were going to finish. Now, so what happens next?
We get to the medical.
Now, what's that like? How much of a medical is it, and how much of a formality?
It was eye-opening, to say the least. There was doctors or whatever. They must have been all doctors, and they had their own department. Ears, nose and throat, eyes, all
so
different.
It was a panel.
You sort of went to one and then to another one and another desk, and they really went. You know, I thought, Christ Almighty, you know, this is some big.
So they properly checked your eyes.
Oh yeah, yeah, and lungs and everything. And that was that, and then I got my report come back A1. I thought, great, you know.
Now, was there any intelligence testing or aptitude testing?
Yes, you're right.
What kind of thing?
Whether like a writer composition, not a short essay sort of thing.
Now, you must have had trouble with that. I mean, I
started sweating, and I was got in a bit of a state with it. And the ones that the questionnaire, the questionnaire was all right, sort of thing. It was the writing and the set out of the composition of the letter, or whatever it was. And the ones who got it right, they went in the Air Force, or very few went in the Navy as National Servicemen, because by the time the training for being in the Navy is a bit more intense than what it is I think the RAF's pretty hot with the specialists they got there now. But the dogs, doodahs, went in the army.
Had you wanted? You've been in the Sea Cadets, mind you. You hadn't liked being in the river. Had you expressed a preference for anything?
Oh yes. The preference I put down, funny enough, was I put my father's regiment down, like 13th and 19th Hussars, and if I couldn't get in them, Bremie. And I thought that would be a good number. So they're the two I put down.
And what did you get?
The infantry.
And that was what it was always going to be then? So you didn't put the Navy or the RAF down?
No. I didn't think for 1 minute I'd get in the Navy because of being a National Service. Mine was thinking, no way am I signing on until I find out what it's like.
So, and now when did you actually get called up? Do you see what I mean? Because all this is going on, but then you get called up, the actual envelope arrives, you have to go in. That would be in 53, would it?
It was New Year's Eve, 52, 53, New Year's Eve. It was the next day was January the 1st, 53. And I was going to a dance at the time, and I really got legless.
How did you feel about it?
Well, I was a bit nervous. I thought, crying. And when I found out where I'd got to go, well, I thought, cry, they're going to take one at me now. And do you know where I had to go? Wootton Barracks, just at the side of Northampton.
Wootton?
Wootton.
That's W-O-T-O-N?
That's it, yeah.
Now, so... What was that like night? Like, you got drunk. Do you remember much about it, how you felt?
Well, we walked home. By the time we got home, I was nearly getting sober again. But we mates, we had a good night. And on, I think it was the 15th or 13th, I can't remember, of January. That's when I had a report up at Wootton Barracks. And I thought before...
And that's actually in Northampton, or the outskirts?
On the outskirts. It was Tuppence on the bus to get to it from.
Now, which unit were you joining there? Or was it a unit? Was
It was a training regiment for the Northamptonshire. A training depot for Northamptonshire regiment.
And that was the regiment you were being put in, the Northamptonshire regiment, right, as far as you're concerned?
Yeah.
And what... You know, you turn up there after your Tuppence bus ride or whatever it was. What was your reception? You arrive as an out-and-out civilian, you know.
Yeah.
What was your reception and how did they treat you in that, as you walk through the gates almost?
the provost sergeant on the gate, you know, he says, what are you doing? He said, I said, recruitment, that, you know. So he said, oh, right, to the main hall down there, show me where to go. And I went in there, and there was tea, cakes, you know, and all the cake. And it was really laid on well. And we had somebody to tell us what's going to happen in the next 2 days.
And what sort of thing were they telling you would happen?
You get your equipment, and then have another medical. And I don't think we had an inoculation that day, but we was warned and done, and the rest of it down at the stores and issued with this. With bedding mostly, not much. We wasn't issued with their rolls from until about a fortnight afterwards.
Now, what kit did they give you? What uniform and kit did they give you? But we're always interested to know what exactly they gave
you. Well, the denims that you worked in were absolutely crap. If you got one to fit you, you must have been one in a million.
Now, is it actual denim cloth?
Yeah, but
khaki?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Oh, they were murder, they were. You look like a bag of shit tied up in the middle.
And what else did you get? So you get your denim uniform. Yeah. What else did you get?
An haircut.
Hang on, kitting out, I mean. I'll come to the haircut. Yeah. I will come to the haircut. Well, what else did you get? So you get, what bedding did they issue you with?
Blankets, three blankets general, two blankets US, two sheets, two pillows.
Now, was this new stuff, or is it just going round and round?
Well, blankets were new. I think you'd see they'd been dobied up several times, and they looked good, you know, they were in good condition.
What else? What are the uniform? Or was it just the denims you got?
Oh, a berry. You had a berry look like a pancake on top of your head. We had a BD, two sets, one for best and one for...
That's a battle drill?
Battle dress. Yeah. And that hadn't been tailored, so that was it was just handed to you, and then the following day we had to get in and dress up and had somebody come round and say, I want a bit of here and a bit off it. And
did you have to mark your kit? Either
a stamp, the stencil, yeah, we had to put all in.
You didn't have to sew it?
No, we did have some tags that we put on our socks, you know. Just to know, and for inspections, that was when we found out late.
I'll come back to it. Now, so you're getting kitted out with all this stuff. Now, what about the haircut, and how much of a haircut was it? I mean, for a start, what was your hair like? Because it I don't know where the teddy boys had started, but what was your hair like before you went in? Oh, there's no point looking at you have to tell them, you see.
It was about the same as stage. I used that's my style, that one on this end here, look. That one there.
So that's short back and sides. So
yeah.
Slightly longer top than perhaps you should have had.
Yeah.
Now that's what they'd call now fairly short hair.
Yeah.
Now what did they do to you? What was the haircut like?
Well, I should have told you this a bit. I've got this one ahead of place, I think. Well, before I got on the bus to go to Wootton Barrys, I went to the barbers where I normally go. And this is no joke. I went there and I said, oh, here you are, because it was Thursday, wasn't working. So if you was in your best gear, you was either shirking work or you was ill. So I said, ill? No, I said, I'm going up Wootton Barracks, I'm joining up today. So he said, you're not, are you? I said, yeah, I want a good short back and sides. He said, I'll fix you up all right. And there was about four there, it was a big shop. Have my hair cut, go catch the bus to go up to Wootton Barracks. And Thursday afternoon, the shops used to close. And when I walked into the room where the barbers were, was three or four barbers where I just left in the morning. And I said, you saucy. And the bloke, not the actual bloke who cut me in the morning, but I had two haircuts in one day. And and it was about an inch. You could just... brush it over.
So it's an inch at the longest.
Yeah.
Or actually 3/4 of an inch.
Yeah.
And that's the longest bit.
Yeah.
And very short indeed. Oh,
of course, yeah. When you bury it, wasn't
it? Did you mind that? I mean, were you bothered? Fashion conscious or anything?
No, no, it didn't bother me. It bothered a lot of blokes, so, yeah.
How did they show it? Were they moaning or what?
Well, there was a chap from Corby, because there's a lot of Scotch at Corby, I don't know whether you know or not, and he got ginger hair, and he what we call like an afro, right teddy boy. And I sat down, I'd been talking to him. Well, when he got out of that chair, and we went out, I looked at him and I didn't recognise him. They'd crucify it. You know, you imagine with a bloke who had hair all laid here and up here, and they've done the lot. I think it worried him for a bit, but he didn't, you know, he didn't bother. What's the point of, you can't get nowhere. When you went through them gates, you lost a life and gained another one.